to do what, Sergeant Love?
Follow one of my guests?
Well, of course, that'd be the layman's term, Mr. Maddox. It's what we call keeping under surveillance. Orders of Inspector Purbrass.
Well, I appreciate you're only doing your duty, Sergeant. Always happy to help the boys in blue.
Oh, this will be strictly a plain clothes exercise, obviously.
Of course, I shall be happy to assist in any way I can. I mean, your chief constable's a very good customer of mine. What with bringing all his committees here, the Yorkshire Terrier fanciers, not to mention the Rotary. I do hope, however, that Miss Tea Time isn't, not in any way, that she hasn't committed...
Oh, no, no.
What with her having run up quite a bill. I mean, she seems such a very respectable lady.
I'm sure she is.
Well, it's so easy to be deceived in people. One minute they're putting half a crown into the blind stocking in the cocktail bar, and the next they might be burning lavatory seats in the bedroom grate.
Is she about, by the way? Miss Tea Time? Could I have a discreet look at her?
She's out at the moment. Goes out every morning and every afternoon. Very fond of walking.
Ah.
But if you'd like to come back, come to the dining room just before 7. She always comes in for her dinner at 7 on the dot. I'll point her out to you.
Right. See you at 7.
And, Sergeant...
Yes?
Mum's the word, eh?
That's right.
I'll not let you down.
7, then.
You don't have to worry, you know. My lips are sealed.
Are you ready to order yet?
No. Not yet. No.
Well, you're taking long enough to make your mind up. It's not a sitting room, you know. It's a flipping dining room for eating it.
Well, I'm going to. It's just that...
Well, I mean, if you just want to sit and buy now, you can go outside and do it in park. It's not raining.
Look, I'm just...
It's all right, Maisie. I'll see to the gentleman. Off you go.
Oh, suit yourself.
Now then, sir. That's her. Just come in. Sitting down at table 7.
Right.
Got her, have you? Lady in blue.
Yes, okay.
Look, she's picking up her menu. The one on her own.
For crying out. I've got her. She's the only woman in the room except for the waitress.
Is she? Oh, hi.
I'll have the braised steak, please.
Soup, sir?
No, thank you. No soup. Just the braised steak.
Oh, very good, sir. Mum's the word, eh? I'll not let you down.
Maisie?
Yeah, what do you want?
I think I'll have the braised steak, too.
Right.
Maisie?
What?
That young man sitting over there looks hardly more than a boy.
Where about him?
Don't you find him rather interesting?
No.
Oh. I'd have thought that someone with your sparkle and joie de vivre would have found it quite fascinating.
It's all right.
Judging character is one of my hobbies, you know.
Oh, I?
Yes. At this distance, I should say he's young, eager, capable within certain narrow limits, persistent, basically good-natured.
I'll get you meat.
And really rather sweet. For a policeman.
What's this, Sid? Corn plasters at your age?
I tell you, Governor, my feet are falling apart. That woman thinks nothing of covering 10 or 15 miles. In and out and up and down and round about. She just seems to stroll, but... She keeps strolling, that's the trouble. How much longer have I got to keep this up for, Governor?
We'd best keep an eye on her until we've some clearer idea of who this Bluebeard is and where to find him.
Couldn't somebody else take a spell?
Well, trouble is, there's only Pook.
Say no more. Well, here we go. I'd best get round to Nelson Street and take my station outside Ball's. She comes out of that hotel front door at 9:30 every morning on the dot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you sitting there, Miss Tea Time. You're usually straight off out after breakfast. Can I get you some more coffee?
No, thank you, dear. I must be off for my walk as soon as I've read my letter. I wonder if you'd mind doing something for me.
Of course, Miss Tea Time.
I wonder if you'd just have a look outside the hotel, just across the street there, by the department store.
Yeah?
Just to see if there's a man standing there. Very young-looking, pinky sort of face, rather attractive in a juvenile sort of way.
I'll go and have a look.
Thank you so much. Now then, Lonely Heart 4122, let's see what you have to say to me this time. Delighted that you've agreed to meet me. We'll weigh anchor at once, Garden of Remembrance at St. Lawrence's Church at 11 bells precisely. I am sure I shall recognise you on instinct, but so as not to accost a perfect stranger, take the seat nearest the water fountain and have in your hand some flower or piece of greenery. You will spot me at once by my ugly old quarter-deck mug. Can't wait to hear about your secret ambition. Must close. Have to board a train for the big city. Time tied, directors' meetings, etc. Yours impatiently, 4122. P.S. It's Jack to my friends. Directors' meetings, eh?
Miss Tea Time?
Yes, dear.
You were quite right. There is a young man outside Bowles, just as you described. Seems to be waiting for somebody.
Thank you, dear. Tell me, is there a back way out?
Oh, yes. Through the kitchen.
Thank you very much. That'll make a nice change.
Not at all.
Yes. I think I shall go without my chaperone today.
Ahoy there.
Oh. Are you Lonely Heart 4122?
Jack Trelawney, at your service.
How do you do, Mr. Trelawney?
And now, Miss 347, how am I to call you? Three for short?
I'm afraid that introductions have never been the happiest moments of my life. You see, my name happens to be Tea Time.
Oh.
It really does.
Tea Time? Well, well. But how refreshingly different. I like it. I really do. And your first name?
Lucy. Lucilla, actually. But I think that's a bit gothic.
Oh, Lucy will do very nicely indeed. Lucy Tea Time. Yes. Before we go any further, I must make a note of your address.
I put up at the Roebuck Hotel.
Jolly nice berth. What about your own home, though? Your proper home?
I suppose I haven't one, really. The house was so huge that it seemed pointless to hang on to it when Father passed away. I mean to say, imagine me trying to keep 27 bedrooms aired.
Oh, all those warming pans.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, with the sort of ridiculous prices people are absolutely fighting to pay for Elizabethan manor houses in Berkshire, it seemed foolish not to turn it to good account.
You sold it, then?
It's going through. Who wants 9 bathrooms, anyway?
Oh, I'd rather have 9 bean rows and a hive for the honeybee.
Yates! Do you live in the country, Mr. Trelawney?
More or less. Actually, I'm rather a bird of passage at the moment, like you. My lonely hammock is slung temporarily in the billet of an old shipmate, who, as we speak, should be heaving to in Frisco Bay.
Goodness! I mean, I see. Have you any children?
Not to my knowledge, ma'am, as the Duke of Wellington used to say. No. No, I've never been spliced. I don't think it's fair on a woman being tied up in port while her husband rolls around the world. Of course, when his sailing days are over, that's different, isn't it?
So you want to settle down?
A little bit of terra firma. A cottage. Slippers by a real old-fashioned fire. Oh, they sound sentimental, I suppose. But you'd be surprised how often they come to mind when you're rounding the bight or keeping your eyes skinned for birds away off Iceland or somewhere.
I'm sure they do.
But you don't want to listen to my little romantic fancies. Tell me something about yourself.
I'm not sure I can tell you, really. My life has been quite uneventful. Rather too sheltered, if anything. You know, this is quite a breakaway for me. Poor father's accountant. Well, he's mine now, I suppose. He was most disapproving when I said I was going to leave everything to him for a while and take a little look round. I had to promise him that I would only draw on my personal account while I was away. And I shan't get into much trouble on that, believe me.
Not while you've me to keep an eye on you. Now then, how about some chow?
Chow would be most acceptable.
I'm ever so sorry, Governor. I didn't mean to lose her. Can't think how she got on to me.
There isn't much you could have done about it, as far as I can see. One doesn't expect ladies of gentle breeding to go nipping out through kitchens.
I can't watch both sides at once.
Hardly.
You could put someone else to watch the back.
The trouble is, as I said before, there's only Pook to spare.
Well, you could put him at the back. As a kind of stopper, I mean. If he looked really obviously a policeman...
Which he does.
She might think he was the only one, and nip back again to the front, so to speak.
Well, we can but try. Mind you, there's one bit of encouragement to be drawn. She must have had some good reason to dodge you on this particular occasion. It does rather look as if somebody's taken the bait.
Don't come onto the platform with me, my dear Lucy. Drafty places, forlorn. Don't want to spoil a perfect day.
It has been a perfect day, thank you, Jack. I really can't think when I've enjoyed myself so much.
And we'll meet again tomorrow, same place, same time.
Oh, yes, please. If it's not too dreary for you.
Dreary? Good night, Lucy Tea Time. You've brought joy to the heart of this old tower.
Oh, Jack! Oh, God.
A lady's asking if she can see someone about that Miss Reckitt. Will you have a word with her, sir?
Sure, in, will you? Come in. Thank you, Pook.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mrs...
My name is Huddleston. Miss Huddleston.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. There was something in the paper about a friend. I thought you might tell me what they think is... I mean, it's something about being missing. Is that right?
You're a friend of Miss Reckitt, are you, Miss Huddleston?
That's right. Yes, I've known her for years.
And you live here in Flaxborough?
No, Derby. But I saw about her in the paper.
And you're anxious?
Well, of course. I didn't know what to think when... I've got the cutting in my handbag some... Oh, yes, here it is.
Thank you.
You see, Martha and I don't get together very often nowadays, not like we used to, but we do write to each other every now and then and keep each other up to date with the news. She tells me everything that's been going on. Well, as I say, we're ever such old friends, so that's only natural. But the very last letter she wrote...
When was that?
Oh, a couple of months ago, I should think. I've got that in here somewhere as well. It isn't dated, actually. January, perhaps. Anyway, as I was saying, this last letter of hers... here it is. It's quite a surprise, knowing Martha, I mean. You see, she'd met this man. Wait a minute. Yes, Giles, something or other. She doesn't give his other name, and she's actually talking about marrying him.
That surprised you?
Certainly it did. I mean, I hadn't any inkling that Martha had any ideas in that line. There's just one thing that doesn't surprise me. He's a clergyman, apparently. Martha was always dead soft on curates.
Does she say where this man's church was supposed to be?
No. I'll let you read this in a minute, but there's nothing in it about that.
I asked because inquiries do happen to have been made of the local church authorities, and there's no unmarried clergyman in any of the parishes round about who admits even to having heard of Miss Reckitt.
Oh. So you've been taking this disappearance business seriously, then?
Very seriously, Miss Huddleston, I assure you.
Oh, dear. Well... Well, you'd better see if there's anything there that'll help. I warn you, some of it's a bit sick-making. Oh, no, that's very wrong of his. Just that she's never written that sort of thing before. Oh, no, poor Martha.
Mostly just pleasantries. Ah, yes. And now I must reveal my great secret. If you were here, of course, you would see it for yourself, or rather the shining outward evidence of it. 5 little diamonds all in a row, and on the 3rd finger of this very hand, lying beside the paper as I write. What do they spell, these 5 pretty stones? G-I-L-E-S.
You see what I mean?
Oh, Elsie, he is such an admirable figure of a man, and he has shown me the quite breathtaking little cottage that he plans to be ours. From a distance, it is not yet unoccupied. And guess where it is, Elsie? No, I am not going to tell you. Oh. Suppose I were just to say, catch a crab. Where would you think of? Talking of the cottage, how glub. Glub?
Oh, here, let me. I'm used to her writing.
It is a bit, well, ornate.
How glad I am now not to have touched any of Uncle Dan's money that time when I had a fancy for a car. If we had to wait for the grant that has been approved by the church commissioners, I am sure somebody else would beat us to such a wonderful snip, as Giles calls it, most unclerically, I'm afraid. Now I must close, as I have an important appointment with a certain gentleman, your ever affectionate friend, Martha. Not much use, is it?
Rather less illuminating than I could have wished. There are one or two interesting points, though. This cottage, now...
Well, She doesn't say where it is.
Now, she's offered you a clue.
Oh, that's typical of Martha. She loves making mysteries of things.
But this one is decidedly odd. I catch a crab. Does it mean anything to you?
No, I'm afraid not.
It sounds rather like something to do with rowing. You know, boats.
I've never rowed a boat in my life. I mean, I'm hardly built for it, am I?
And, well, what about Miss Reckitt? Did you ever go on a river with her?
No, don't remember anything about boats or rivers.
Well, never mind. But I should like you to keep having a go at it in your mind. Something might occur to you.
Mm-hmm. I'll do my best, I promise. Anything I can do to help. Poor Martha.
Now, another thing. Can you say anything about this money she mentions?
Well, only that it was left her by this Uncle Dan of hers, £500.
Well, if you'll leave me your address, Miss Huddleston, I promise to keep you informed if and when the whereabouts of Miss Reckitt become known.
Oh, thank you, Inspector. I'd better be off to catch my train. You know, I don't at all like the sound of that clergyman.
You don't?
Partly prejudice, actually. I've never cared for clergymen very much. Those awful black modesty vest things and the smell of candles and wardrobes. But Martha was soppy about them.
Do you know of any particular clergyman she was friendly with?
Well, there is one, but I'm not sure if he counts as a proper clergyman. They do know each other. As a matter of fact, he's a young man from my own hometown. I come from Chalmsbury, you know.
Not Mr. Leeper.
That's him. He hangs out at some tin pot place in Northgate. I remember him as a kid in Chalmsbury. Queer lad with a nose like a carrot.
The Reverend Leeper.
I wouldn't place too much reliance on anything Len says, mind. That is, if you were thinking of...
No, I was merely wondering whether there might be some connection. His proximity to Handclasp House.
Pardon?
Nothing, really. We're still very much at the exploratory stage, I'm afraid.
Is this Giles person you want to be looking for, and that's for certain?
You may well be right.
Oh, dear. Well, nothing else I can do at the moment. Poor Martha.
Goodbye, Miss Huddleston. You'll not forget now about catching crabs, will you?
I'll keep thinking about it.
Lucy!
Here I am. I'm not late, am I?
No, I arrived a little early today. Business before pleasure. The sooner I can get done with people like bank managers, the brighter the rest of the day looks.
They are a bit of a bore. Mm. Not that it matters very much to me. I never seem to need large sums, so I'm quite happy to leave everything tied up in securities, whatever they are.
And do you really not know anything about them?
Only that I can't get at them without a fearful amount of bother. A trip to London, for one thing. I have to sign things in person on the spot. And then there's always a tiny glass of Madeira afterwards, and everybody's referred to as Mr. James or Mr. Charles. Oh, you've no idea.
Oh, but I have, my dear. One of my own companies is just like that. Would you believe it? Nobody can cash a single share without filling in a special requisition, which has to be signed by a clerk in holy orders, the headmaster of Eton, and the editor of the Times.
Do they call him the headmaster?
Pardon?
Nothing.
How about a stroll by the river to work up an appetite,
What a lovely idea.
What do you mean? You both lost her?
It wasn't me who lost her.
But I thought it was your job to follow her.
She went out the wrong way again.
Oh, that's right. Straight at me. And I hadn't any instructions.
You were supposed to intimidate her, Mr. Pook. You were the stopper. You were supposed to stand at the back and frighten her in Sid's direction. Why didn't you?
I did, sir. I tried everything. Looked menacing, you know, sort of loomed at her. Took out my ID and looked at it as if I was trying to identify her from a photo. But she wouldn't be frightened. Just smiled at me and gave me a little wave and walked off, straight past me.
And you let her go?
Oh, no, sir. Of course not. I followed her, sir.
Well?
Well,
you lost her?
Well, no. More like she lost me.
She lost you?
Ladies' underwear.
No, Sid. No, she didn't. I was still with her in the women's... in the lingerie. She was in there for hours. I was that embarrassed, pretending to be looking at things. I mean, what can I look at? And the assistants giggling and making remarks. What is a fetish, sir?
Get on with it.
Well, it was the lift. It was packed. She was at the back and I was scores in at the front. She let everybody get off, then she nipped back in. I run down the stairs, but it didn't come down. She must have pressed the button again for up, and then nipped down the back stairs and out.
Did she indeed? Well, we can't do anything about that now. Thank you, Mr. Fook. You did your best.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Sid, this Miss Tea Time seems to be quite an interesting character.
Huh.
I've been thinking again about a suggestion of yours. About taking Miss Tea Time into our confidence. On her showing during the last couple of days, I think she's capable of being very helpful. At the same time, she'll have to be warned of the risk she's running.
So, you're going to level with her, then?
Yes. I think I'll call in at the Roebuck for a spot of breakfast in the morning.
Oh, Jack, this place is so lovely. And so pleasant to eat out of doors, too, with the boats passing on the river and not a blemish on the landscape as far as the horizon. What is it called?
The Riverside Rest.
The Riverside Rest. So appropriate.
Oh, I love the country. If you want to leave your doors open, you can, and there's nothing worse than good fresh air can get in.
Of course, there's an even more secure refuge.
And where's that, Lucy?
You ought to know, Jack.
Tell me.
A boat? A little ship?
Oh, but there are lots of practical difficulties, you know. You'd have to have a crew. Oh, and my word, you'd have to be careful there. And then there are things like, port dues and so on. Oh, and navigation. Have you ever thought about navigation?
Oh, I don't mean a big boat. It's what I believe they call in the trade a 40-footer that I had in mind.
I say, you have picked up the lingo, haven't you? Do you know, I think you've been up to something.
I suppose I shall have to tell you.
Hmm.
But you mustn't laugh. I won't have you laughing at me, even if I am a poor landlubber.
Nelson's honour. Go on.
Well, it started with Father, really. He used to keep a very nice cabin cruiser. Of course, during his illness, it wasn't used. And then, when he passed on, and there was all that business of the estate being settled, I really wasn't in the mood to think about things like pleasure boats, so... So I let it go to one of Father's old business friends, who had often sailed with him, and who was very keen to have it. I knew what the boat was worth, because it was in the valuation at £2,300.
Really?
But I also knew that Mr. Cambridge wasn't terribly well off, so, well, I made him take it for £500. He was quite pathetically pleased and insisted on giving me an undertaking that if he ever wished to part with the boat, it would, what's the word? Revert? It would revert to me for the same money.
I see.
Anyway, I received a letter from Mr. Cambridge's daughter. He's in hospital, poor man, and terribly worried about the silly promise. And strictly between ourselves, he needs the money desperately. I wrote at once and told her to sell the boat for as much as it would fetch, but for not a penny under 2,000.
2,000?
And now back has come that dear, foolish woman's reply. No, I must have the boat or no one else will. Final. Flat. Now, can you understand how anybody could be so stubborn?
No.
Mind you, I must admit that I find the temptation almost irresistible. When I look out there at that water, I can just picture the Lucy. Did I tell you he named it after me? Gliding along with that funny little thing on the mast, going round and round.
Do you mean it's got radar?
I don't know what it's called, but it's something to do with being able to steer in the fog. Anyway, she really is a beautiful little ship, and there's nothing I'd love so much as to...
Yes?
Oh.
I do believe that you've let out that little secret ambition of yours. It's true, isn't it? You want to cast off.
Well, no. It's impossible. It would be like taking advantage of a sick old man.
Oh, come now. You mustn't look at it like that. These old chaps are very, very proud. It wouldn't be kind to go against what they believe to be right.
Dear Jack... You're so masculine and sensible about these problems. I suppose that comes of your having to deal with, I don't know, storms and mutinies and all that sort of thing. I don't know why I've told you all this. You see, there's
nothing I can do about it in any case.
Simple, my dear. Send Mr. Cambridge the money. Ease his conscience.
I'm afraid you're wrong. It's not simple. I just don't have the money.
How long would it take? A week?
Oh, no. Longer. Perhaps three. And by then, well, would be too late.
How do you mean too late? The man's not dying, surely.
Not dying, but in a serious condition in quite another sense. Something called a distress warrant has been applied for by some people to whom he owes money, apparently. Miss Cambridge says that unless the boat is sold within the next week, it will be taken from him.
Good Lord, we can't have that. I mean, you can't,
But what am I supposed to do?
Oh, suppose that I were to buy the boat.
You'd never let it go.
But wait, though. Suppose, as I say, that I were to buy it, but in your name.
Jack, I couldn't ask you to do anything of the kind. You don't even know these people.
I know you, Lucy, and I think I'm a fair judge of character.
Oh.
And what would you say if you saw the Lucy bearing down the river here with me at the wheel, eh? Would you be ready to board her, for better or worse?
Oh, Jack!
As a matter of fact, that's just about what I was going to ask you in any case today. About us, I mean. Sailing in convoy.
Oh, Jack.
There, old girl. Now, I'm going to let you into a little secret. Do you know why I just happen to have £500 handy for the doing of good turns to old gentlemen with motorboats?
Jack!
I'll tell you why. Now, being a very confident sort of cove, I said to myself, as soon as I saw you, that dear lady is going to be your lawful wedded. And as such, she will want to live in a little cottage in the country. Of course, I didn't know then that you were a sailor. No, a cottage, I said to myself, is what that charming woman will want, and you, Jack, know the very place.
Really?
Really, the said cottage is for sale, for a deposit of £500. So, now you know the little piece of business that brought me into town so early,
This deposit already?
Not exactly. The cash won't be available until tomorrow. But I came to a firm understanding with the agent. The channel's clear, old girl. Absolutely clear.
Oh, Jack, how wonderful it sounds. But the money for the boat. I mean, how can you use it and still pay the deposit?
Ah, it so happens. The estate agent is an old friend of mine. That's how I got to hear of the place, as a matter of fact. He'll be quite happy to reserve it for me on the strength of my post-dated cheque.
Post-dated?
That's a cheque which is payable in, say, a month's time, when your money comes through. In the meantime, we go straight round to the bank and open a joint account. Lots of husbands and wives have them. It means that either person can draw cheques on it, you see? Then I'll transfer the 500 I was going to use for the deposit into that account. Then you can write your cheque for the boat, and it will be drawn on the joint account. All shipshape and Bristol fashion. Do you see?
Well, yes, I do. Oh, Jack!
Then I shall take your cheque down to poor old Mr. Cambridge and sail the Lucy back here. What do you say to that, me hearty?
Oh, Jack, you're so...
Yes?
So good at managing things.